Good afternoon, it's 5:06 and 69 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanna Akers.
And I'm Rachel Turner.
Everything will be ready to go by Memorial Weekend is our goal.
Moorhead is making plans to open the Sheltowee Falls Splash Pad.
A major road project began in Grayson this week.
And a new mini roundabout is being built in Rowan County.
An autistic teen hit by a police cruiser is asking for more details from authorities.
Kentucky continues to outrank the national average for child abuse cases.
In sports, Vikings softball hits the road tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low around 54. We'll have a look at your region's weather forecast after this news.
Sheltowee Falls Splash Pad is set to open in downtown Moorhead this season. The facility was completed in the fall of 2018, but had a delayed opening in 2019 due to needed repairs. It was not opened last summer because of the COVID regulations. Parks and Recreation Director Matt Hamilton says they will install a new fence before the facility opens late next month.
We're not required to have a fence. We're not required to have people staffing it because it's a splash pad. But with concerns with the community, we have kids running into the parking lot or trying to go toward the creek. We just wanted to provide those services for the community as a reassurance to them. It's not an investment in a splash pad. It's an investment in the community and the kids.
Hamilton says opening work and the new fence installation should be complete in plenty of time for their Memorial Day weekend opening.
Roughly 4,000 cars pass through the intersection at Route 60 and 801 in Round County every day. Soon it will be replaced with a mini roundabout designed to enhance safety and traffic flow. Transportation officials say the design will slow drivers down while also keeping traffic flow. Adam Ferguson is an owner of a nearby local business. He tells WKYT he's on board with the improvements.
A lot of the locals pretty apprehensive about the roundabout. I guess just because it's something new, but I think it'll be better.
The project is expected to take about 2 weeks to finish, weather permitting.
A Kentucky Transportation Cabinet project to widen 1.5 miles of heavily trafficked Carroll Malone Boulevard through Grayson has begun. The $6 million upgrade is adding a center turn lane to the entire stretch of road, along with additional designated turning lanes at key intersections between Academic Parkway and the Little Sandy Bridge. Grayson Mayor George Steele says the improvements have long been planned and come at a time when the city has seen sustained growth in businesses along the key corridor.
It's going to create a safer way for us to get off of it and get into to the business that are going to develop down through there.
Motorists are advised to slow down and pay attention to road signs. Traffic has been reconfigured, including being reduced to one lane and shifted towards the southbound side of the roadway. Construction will continue on the roadway through the summer and into next year.
A lawyer representing the teen struck by a Lexington police cruiser last month is demanding more details from the police department. 19-year-old Liam Long was struck by the vehicle while having a mental health crisis on March 30th. Police were called by a social worker to do a wellness check on Long, who has autism. According to the police, when they arrived, Long threatened the officers while holding a knife. Then Long fled on foot and was struck as the officer driving the cruiser was arriving on the scene. The Lexington Herald Leader reports Long's lawyer criticizes the department for failing to release body camera videos, a lack of transparency, and conflicting accounts of the incident. The lawyer also says this is another example of injustice for a black teen from police. Lexington police say the body camera videos cannot be released because the incident is still under investigation. Long suffered extensive injuries, including a brain bleed and a fractured nose and shoulder.
A new study reports that 20 out of every 1,000 children in Kentucky has had some experience with abuse and neglect. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Kentucky outranks the nation in child abuse cases for the third year in a row. Pam Darnall is the CEO of Family and Children's Place. She tells Wave 3 News a program called HANDS, which provides voluntary in-home visitation for new and expecting parents, has been beneficial.
There is data that shows when families are in this program called HANDS, like your hand, they are 50% or more less likely to ever hurt their children.
For professional crisis counselor information, referrals for emergencies, and support resources, contact the state or national child abuse hotline. All calls are confidential.
Kentucky is receiving praise for its election reform. Governor Andy Beshear signed House Bill 574 in Frankfort on Wednesday morning. It is a measure both Democrats and Republicans support. Secretary of State Michael Adams tells LEX 18 the bill is an amazing advancement for the Commonwealth.
While other states are caught up in partisan division, here in Kentucky, we're leading the nation in making it both easier to vote and harder to cheat.
The law creates 3 days of early in-person voting, enhances the ability of state election officials to remove non-Kentucky residents, keeps online portal for absentee ballots, and establishes vote centers.
Lexington will be the first city in Kentucky to use new election security devices meant to better protect the statewide voter registration system. WUKY's Josh James explains.
About 800 people in the state have the ability to log in to Kentucky's voter registration system. Once the new devices are in place, those individuals will have to go through a two-factor authentication system, like the ones commonly used to access bank accounts online. Secretary of State Michael Adams said the extra layer of security is more of a precautionary measure intended to stop unauthorized access by a third party.
Whether that would be someone who's a foreign agent or someone who's a domestic instigator or even someone with a campaign trying to tinker with the results, this is really blind as to who the identity of that person would be or their specific motive. It just keeps those people from getting into the system.
Adams did not cite any live threat to the registration system or attacks in other states that prompted the security upgrades. The changes will be implemented first in Lexington, but eventually statewide over the next year, with the goal of having them in place by Kentucky's next elections in 2022. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Lexington's campaign to get citizens vaccinated against COVID-19 might shift toward a more personalized approach as the city looks to convince those who are on the fence about getting the shot. Lexington launched its hashtag LexDoThisVaccination campaign back in February, recruiting community leaders and a diverse cast of spokesmen to testify to the necessity and safety of the vaccines. And so far, the message is resonating, with Fayette County now home to more fully vaccinated residents than all but two other counties in the state. But with supplies ramping up and demand expected to eventually wane, the job of persuading the public gets harder. As the city tries to reach those more wary of the vaccines, Mayor Linda Gorton says a recent Louisville survey showed the vaccine hesitant are more open to them if they hear a recommendation directly from their primary physician.
So, in other words, if your healthcare provider says, you know, you ought to get the vaccine, they're more likely to get it. So we're going to start thinking about our messaging in that regard.
A nationwide NPR/Marist survey in March showed roughly 30% of respondents do not plan on getting the shot. But officials are hoping those numbers come down as more and more Americans see their family, friends, and neighbors get vaccinated.
Health officials say that language has been a barrier in getting people vaccinated. Less than 2% of the Hispanic population in Kentucky has received the COVID-19 vaccine. Rosa Martin is a researcher at the University of Kentucky. She tells WKYT misinformation is causing some of the hesitancy.
In some cases, I've heard that, you know, the ladies, they say like, oh, I'm not going to have any more children. If I put that vaccine, I'm going to get cancer.
She says misinformation is spreading on social media, in social circles, and among family. The Lexington Fayette County Health Department and UK's vaccination clinic at Kroger Field now have more materials available in Spanish.
Taking a look at the weather. Tomorrow, a 10% chance of showers and thunderstorms, sunny with a high near 78. Friday night, a 10% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy with a low around 57. Saturday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 72. Chance of precipitation is 80%. Saturday night, showers and thunderstorms, low around 51. Chance of precipitation is 80%.
On our feature segment today, Lakeside Christian Academy is working to build a new agriculture program on its Moorhead campus. WMKY's Carrie Stambo has a story.
Lakeside Christian serves pre-K to 12th grade students from across the region. Enrollment is growing, and in response, the school is expanding its staff and educational programming. Lakeside is actively looking for an agricultural teacher and hopes to launch the first phase of an ambitious agriculture program this coming school year. Dr. Lambert is the school's principal. He says the seed for a new ag program was planted earlier this year when officials first considered an orchard at their campus off US 60.
What we were hoping to do was to start an orchard with pear, plum, and apple trees, because we thought we had several of those in our bottom over here. We were going to transplant them, and we would produce, of course, the trees would produce the fruit, and we would harvest it, and then we'd teach the kids marketing and how to sell.
However, after visits from experts from the University of Kentucky and Kentucky State University Extension Service, Lambert says the school learned it would be a better fit for growing pawpaws and persimmons.
There's a great market for both of those fruits. We can take the persimmons, and we can actually make jams and jellies out of those and sell them with our own label. Then in between the trees, you run a chicken run, buy your peeps in a spring, and then by the time school is almost out, you have them grown, and you're ready to sell those for meat. We have a greenhouse that we were told that we could use for raising plants in the spring of the year and selling those before school's out.
Lambert says the school will also raise honeybees and is in talks with App Harvest, which has been installing container gardens at schools across Kentucky. Lakeside will have to do some preparatory work, including putting up fences to keep out the local black bear population, in addition to hiring a teacher to spearhead the program. Lambert says interest has already been strong in the new job.
Since we've put word out that we're looking for an ag teacher, we're beginning to get some applications in, so we'll start interviewing very shortly.
Whomever the school hires will be charged in part with working with administrators to build a program from the ground up. The first ag class is expected to launch in September when the 2021-2022 school year starts, according to Lambert.
We will teach at least one class this year in ag. We'll have to pick and choose what grade we want to start this in. Probably most likely will be a freshman class. However, if we have the opportunity, we may go ahead and work it out to be able to teach to all high school grade levels in one class.
As the program grows, younger grades will also have opportunities to participate. Lambert says the school is working with state ag officials to develop its plan, and teachers in future Farmers of America programs at other local public schools have also pledged their support.
So we're excited about that, and we're just anxious to really get this next school year started, and the teachers are so excited about this. I mean, we haven't had summer yet, and they're already excited about next year.
For more information about the ag teaching position or the school, visit lakesidechristianacademy.org. For WMKY News, I'm Carrie Stambo reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from the Carter County Times, a locally owned and operated newspaper serving businesses and residents of Carter County, including Grayson, Olive Hill, Globe, Grand, Carter City, Willard, Hitchens, and Rush. The Times is Carter County's source for local news, sports, and obituaries, available at local retailers and delivered every Wednesday. For subscriptions and more information, the Carter County Times is available online at cartercountytimes.com or by phone at 606-225-1318.
It's 69 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Rachel Turner and Wiley Tanner. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Shamari Mosley has a look at sports coming up, but first I want to say thank you. We're so glad that you can spend time with us on this rainy Thursday afternoon.
Round softball takes the field again tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley. The Round County Senior High School softball team is back on the road this evening. The Vikings are heading to Murphy County for a contest with the Lady Cats. Head coach Larry Sloan says his team has been focusing on fundamentals after an extended hiatus due to the pandemic. On top of that, he says he's been trying to get some of his players to change their mindset after playing for other Rowan athletic programs, including sophomore standout Haven Ford.
Because, you know, Haven is probably as good an athlete as there is in the 16th region. She plays shortstop for us. She's a really good hitter and, without a doubt, can compete with anybody in basketball and softball. But you got to give them a little bit of time to get back into the softball swing, and hopefully that won't take a whole long time.
First pitch in Murphy County this evening is set for 6 o'clock. Taking a look at other softball action in the 16th region tonight, Ashland Blazer hosts Warren East at 5:30, then Boyd travels to Bath County for a 6 p.m. matchup. In regional baseball action tonight, Morgan County hosts Boyd County, Ashland Blazer travels to Raceland, Morgan County hosts Floyd Central, and West Carter hosts Martin County. All of those games are set for 6 p.m. We'll have scores tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Baseball Eagles are starting a 3-game series with Austin Peay tonight. The games were set to begin Friday evening, but were moved up one day this morning. Morehead State stands at 13-11 on the season, while their opponents Austin Peay are 9-17. MSU head coach Mick Aoki says his team is working well at the plate.
Hitting is kind of the most fickle, right? Because it's the most difficult of the of kind of the three things. So, you know, that'll be a little bit up and down. But if you look at the trend line, I think our trend line has been moving up on the hitting thing. So I'd like to see that continue.
Game time in Clarksville, Tennessee tonight is set for 6 p.m. A doubleheader Friday begins at 2 p.m. The Morehead State softball team is preparing for a 3-game series with Belmont this weekend at University Field. The Eagles are coming off of a 2-game sweep at Dayton on Wednesday. Head coach Samantha Jones says there will be a level of comfort on their home field.
Understanding our playing surface, understanding the surrounding areas, just because obviously that's the place that you practice, you know, all the time when you're home. And so, of course, there's just that layer of the knowingness of your surroundings. It always feels good to have, like, your family and friends in the stands.
The Eagles and the Bruins face off at 3:30 on Saturday. Sunday's doubleheader is set to begin at 1:30 and will air on ESPN+. Game day continues to draw near for the Morehead State football team. MSU is continuing to touch up their game as they prepare to host Valparaiso on Saturday. The Eagles' defense has been a major factor in the team's performance this year, getting 10 interceptions in 4 games. Coach Rob Tenier says they'll need to keep it up if they want to win on Saturday.
Yeah, we're number 3 in the country in FCS football and interceptions right now. Defensively, our pass defense, I thought, played their strongest game. You know, Butler ran 81 plays and only scored 2 touchdowns. That's pretty good defense. So, and we got some guys playing really well. Cam Barrett had a big day. Jelani Garvin had a big day. They both had identical stats. 7 tackles, 1 tackle for a loss, 1 interception.
Kickoff at Jane Stadium Saturday is set for noon. And finally in sports this afternoon, general admission tickets went on sale Wednesday for the 2021 Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby. WMKY's Jonathan Burton has the story.
Infield only general admission ticketing for the Oaks and Derby is now open. The general admission tickets are for the infield standing room only, and patrons must enter through the infield gate. LAX18 reports the pricing for a 2-day ticket is $120 when purchased by April 18th and includes a race day program. A spokesperson with Churchill Downs says roughly 15,000 fans will be spread over the 22-acre infield on Derby Day. Per state and local guidelines, masks will be required. Tickets can be purchased from the Kentucky Derby website. For WMKY News, I'm Jonathan Burton.
And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from C. Roger Lewis Insurance, 129 East Main Street, Moorhead. The C. Roger Insurance Agency has been serving the insurance needs of Moorhead, Round County, and all of eastern Kentucky since 1958. Located on Main Street in downtown Moorhead, C. Roger Lewis Insurance offers insurance needs for home, auto, farm, business, nonprofits, and government agencies. If you own it, they can insure it. John Eisen and Betty Keene can be reached at 606-784-4168 or on Facebook under Eisen Insurance Agency.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. The S&P 500 rose to another record high amid a strong rally in major technology stocks, and the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 57.31 at 33,503.57, and the S&P 500 was stronger than the Dow average, finishing up 17.22 at 4,097.17, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 140.47, or just over 1%, at 13,829.31. The tech-heavy NASDAQ was strengthened by good performances in Apple, Netflix, and Microsoft, which all climbed more than 1%. Investors processed a worse-than-expected reading on the economy as the latest weekly jobless claims total came in at 744,000, which is well above expectations coming into the report, which the expectations from economists was 694,000. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell signaled today that the economic rebound from the pandemic still has room to go as the recovery thus far has not been well-rounded. Powell also repeated that inflation is not expected to be serious, even though near-term price pressures are likely. And President Biden spoke about his administration's $2 trillion infrastructure plan that includes a corporate tax rate hike to 28% and noted he is willing to negotiate on the proposed tax increase. And the proposed increase to the corporate tax is thought to be a key source of tax revenue for the White House infrastructure plan and is a non-starter for Republicans who say they are concerned about tax increases as the U.S. economy emerges from the COVID-19 pandemic. In the commodities markets, oil was unchanged at $59.76 a barrel. Gold was up 0.8% at $1,756.50 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX down 47 cents at $96.48, Marathon Petroleum down 63 cents at $53.36, AEP down 62 cents at $86.07, Community Trust Bank up 12 cents at $44.28, App Harvest down 27 cents at $18.02, and Kroger was up 8 cents to finish at $37.23. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Carrie Stambo, Heather Fannin, Carla Haight, Daria Denisenko, Ben Hall, Shamari Mosley, Levi Bryan, and Wiley Tanner. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from WMKY's own Carrie Stambo. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Rachel Turner and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.